powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by a very special guest, Daryl Terrell, Service and Parts Director. Daryl, how are you?
I'm doing good, Corey. Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you for being on this podcast. You know, before we get started, I just want you to tell our listeners just like a little elevator speech on how you got started in the automobile business and what you're doing currently right now today.
So I started back when I was as young as I can remember, actually. My dad was a service manager, so he used to take me to his job on Saturdays, and I would sit in the customer service lounge, and I would just watch all the customers come in and how they treated customers. And I always wanted to work in a shop, but he was like, no, I don't want you touching on cars, just stay out of the way. But somehow I found a way to sneak into the shop anyway. And I got into some trouble, a little bit of trouble doing that. But so I ended up taking an automotive in high school. And they linked me up with an internship and a dealership. And they linked me up with a technician, master technician. So I learned pretty much from starting at the internship, and then I worked my way up to a technician, and then I went from a technician to a service manager, and then a service manager to parts and service director. I work for Matt Bauer Chevy Metairie now, currently, and he actually gave me my first management opportunity. I was a technician, and I was a highly successful technician, and I got to a point in my career where I knew that it was no more growing as a technician. I knew I wanted to help more people, and as a technician, I only could work on that one car at a time. So I wanted to, you know, shift careers and actually help more people. So I think being a manager actually gave me the platform to do that. And here I am today.
That's an incredible story. And where is the dealership located?
We're currently located in Metairie, Louisiana. It's a town right outside of New Orleans.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's jump right into this episode. This is right in your wheelhouse because you were an ex-technician. So growing your own technicians and growing your own team is what this podcast is about. And I think this is, you know, you're a master at this because you've had to do it from as a little boy all the way up to what you're currently doing right now. So tell us about the market that you work in currently right now, which is right outside of New Orleans, you said.
But the market I work in now, it's an area that is built on a rich culture of family, tradition, and it's built on grind. We overcame a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, and what the area is known for is just putting its best foot forward and moving forward, and just taking on challenges head on. And that's how I'm built. And so I believe I fit in well with this culture down here.
I'd have to agree. So what did you do when you do you build up your technicians first, or do you build up your team of advisors? Where do you start?
So I believe you got to start with both categories. Because it's kind of like a seesaw effect. If you have more techs than you have advisors, then your advisors, I mean, they can't support your technician. So your technician, they end up getting starved out because they can't turn hours because you don't have enough input going, you know, controlling your output. But then if you switch it and you have more advisors and not enough technicians, then you starve your advisors out. So you kind of got to grow them together where it rises together like this. And because, I mean, in order to grow, you gotta be able to support your staff, and support is everything. So I think you got to grow them together. It's not one or the other. I think they both have to be grown together.
That's an interesting point, because I've asked this same question to other people in similar positions that you have, and I get a different answer. But I really like your answer, because if you would have answered, "Oh, we focus on the advisors first because they talk to the customer, and then we work on the back of the house," but just like you just said, the technician starves, and if your technician has downtime or goes home early, what is the one thing they're going to start doing after a while if this doesn't change quickly?
Yeah, it's going to create turnover. And that's what you want.
Yeah, they're going to look someplace else. So I like that train of thought. So, you know, what are six tips for creating a strong customer service department and kind of staying in line with your train of thought of building the team together. And even though they're, you know, one is in the front of the house, really meeting with the customers, and the other one's in the back of the house, making sure the vehicle's fixed right the first time. How do you do that?
First off, everybody have to share the same vision. They have to have the same goal. And that's ultimately to take care of the customer. So once you establish a common vision with the team, then you can move on to other things that, you know, creating a positive work environment. I don't tolerate any negative energy in a work environment. I'm super positive person. And I've been in positions where when I first started dealerships, you have negative people that work for you. And it's kind of a challenge because you kind of need them where you think you need them. And all I could say is that when you get rid of the negative energy, the positive outweighs the negative all the time. You know, like I said, I've been in a position where I was afraid to lose somebody because I thought they were valuable, because their production was great. But once you get rid of negative energy, other guys step up and they fill that void. So that's something I learned over my career, is just get rid of the negative and other guys will step up and fill that void for you.
So how do you get everybody on the same vision, right?
Yeah, you just gotta relay the message to the guys. You gotta have other leaders besides yourself, because you're not the only leader in a department. You gotta identify your leaders. And what I did, I identified my leaders. I have a team leader. I actually have two team leaders: an express service leader. I have an express manager. I have a service lane manager, and I have an assistant service manager. Wow. And, so all of our managers, we're all on the same page, and we spread the message throughout the department. It's not just coming from me. It's coming from everybody, and we all share the same values, and we all want to win. And then you got to hold them accountable. Accountability is everything, and then you got to lead by example. You can't do something that's not right and expect people to do what's right. So I know that I'm constantly being watched in my department, and so I know that I'm an example for my employees. So I do what's right all the time, so that they follow my direction. And if I do anything that's, that I make a mistake with, I admit my mistakes, I learn from my mistakes, I acknowledge them with my staff, and we move on. I'll give you a story. Last month, my goal was to do $300,000 in service gross. And so I told my staff, either we do $300,000 in service gross, or I'm going to eat dog food. they thought I was crazy for it. They thought I was joking. But my goal really was to hit 300,000. And what seems unrealistic to some people is realistic to me. We fell a little short of that, unfortunately. I got to 273, and so I had to eat dog food. And I shot me, and I had a can of dog food, and I got right at it, and I ate the dog food. So that was just a lesson to teach my guys. You got to do what you say you're going to do, and accountability is a huge part on growth.
Well, I got to ask, how did the dog food taste?
It actually really wasn't that bad. I picked my flavor. I got chicken, spinach, and like cattle. And it just was really, had like an iron taste to it, but it wasn't that bad.
Oh, I would have had to drink a lot of water after that. You're a brave, brave person, sir.
Accountability is everything, man. Accountability.
So I like those tips, the having the same vision, having positivity, because positivity is really big in customer service, because one customer can praise you as the advisor in the department saying, thank you so much and all this other stuff. And then the next one right behind it will be upset, right? And that brings you down. That can bring the whole department down. So in that case, how do you teach your advisors to, and even your technicians, to rise above the customer coming in and giving that negativity, right? How do you keep them up?
So I teach my guys and I train them on emotional intelligence. It's not allowing the outside to influence what's inside of you. And it's not just with the service customers, it's with life in general. You got to be emotionally intelligent to not, I really view, like, if you let something on the outside influence how you feel on the inside, that's being weak. And so that's pretty much what we teach, man. That's what I praise, is just understanding, what the customer has going on when they come in. Don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. Just find a way to resolve it and help them out. And it's a difference between disrespectful and just being upset. We're not going to tolerate disrespect, but if a customer's upset, we got to understand where they're coming from. We got to be emotional intelligent, and we got to find solutions for them.
Yeah, it's almost like having a positive mindset no matter what. And for the advisor, it has to be, you know, I didn't build it, I didn't break it, I didn't buy it, I'm just here to help you, right? I really like that. What is one thing you did to grow your own technicians?
To grow my own technicians, I just gave people opportunities. Growing up as a lube tech in the industry, that's all I wanted, was the opportunity to be a technician. And I prayed for a manager to give me opportunity to be a tech. And I asked so many times, and they're like, "You're not ready yet. It's no room for you right now." But in my mind, I knew that the manager that gave me opportunity to be a technician, they were gonna benefit. I was gonna reward them, and I knew I was ready for it. So when a lot of technicians or lube techs come up to me and ask me for opportunity, I give them the opportunity to ask them for it, because I feel like if somebody's asking for opportunity, they're ready to move up. And I respect somebody ready to move up. I got the utmost respect by that type of person. So it's all about giving people opportunities and give them a shot, man, because a lot of people won't give you a shot. But I believe in my guys. I believe in my technicians. I believe in my lube techs.
So, you hire them for a reason, right? And when they voice to you, "Hey, I'm ready to move up," you give them that shot. How does it work? Once, let's say I'm your technician and I can say, "Hey, I've been here for X amount of months or years, and I really want to learn to be a master mechanic. I want my shot," right? What's the next step?
So we have a shop foreman and a team leader. So usually I'll pair them, depends on their level. If they're on a lower level, I'll pair them with a shop foreman or a team leader. They'll get together for about 3 months, and I'll work with them side by side and understand the process of, service manuals, using a computer, repairing the vehicles, warranty work. If they're a little advanced, then I might put them like on a C-Tech level, starting with suspension, alignments, light dyke, AC work, and then work their way up. It works out pretty well. Since I've been here for 1 year now, and I promoted 5 lube techs so far. And they're all technicians right now currently, and they're all doing pretty well for us.
Okay. So moving up all those techs, you obviously had to replace them with new lube techs, right?
Correct.
So how did you find the right person for those positions? Did you advertise a lot, whether it was social media or in the paper or radio, or did you find another way to find that next team member, if you will?
So I constantly recruit with finding a loop techs. I do a lot of recruiting on Indeed. What I learned is that they say it's a technician shortage, and that is true. But with success comes people that want to work for you. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to find people that were being more successful than it was when we weren't being successful. So word of mouth spreads. People come to me asking for positions now, as opposed to me running, "Hey, do you need a job? Hey, don't anybody need a job?" So that's a cool thing I learned, what comes with success in a dealership, is people will actually want to work for you. And I recruit nonstop, but it's a lot easier when you're successful.
Yeah, when they come asking for you, that says a lot to the core values of the company, the leadership, yourself obviously included in that, is that they see something and hear, I've heard a lot, that they need to come work for you, right? That's a big attaboy. I really like that. So you're always constantly recruiting, and you do it in many different avenues. And obviously, word of mouth is the best form of advertising no matter what you're doing, right? So I really like that. Okay. So as you started building this team, it really evolved over time. How does it look currently right now? So you're a year into it. You evolved the team. What is your day-to-day? Do you have a lot of hands-on during the day, or is it just your team leaders are just reporting to you at this point?
No, I'm not to that point yet. I wish one day I will be there. I am hands-on. I'm a hands-on manager, man. I'm not afraid to get in the trenches. I went from 11 techs to 20 techs in the shop, so over the course of a year. When you have more technicians, you have more advisors, you're able to take in more customers. And with more customers, you need more hands. So it's forever growing. I don't think I'll be at a point where I could just sit back, relax anytime soon, because we're still growing a business and I'm focused on growing a business.
Okay. I like that. I think, you know, always constantly growing that business. You seem like that person that if a technician calls out, you'll throw on the technician outfit and do an oil change and a tire rotation.
Sure.
That's awesome. So what metric are you using to see if the team is improving? You know, what is your number one metric that you go to?
My number one metric I go to is our available inventory to sell. And so pretty much you got to know how many shop hours you have available to sell on any given day. And you use that metric pretty much to track each day to back into a number for the month. And so we track tech hours. Every tech in the shop owes me 8 hours a day. They owe themselves 8 hours a day. And we track it daily. And if you're short 8 hours, we're going to find out why you're short, what happened. Maybe it was a hold up on a part. Maybe it was a personal issue. But you gotta make up for 40 hours in a week, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. And we hold our techs accountable to that. My advisors, they are aware of our inventory we have to sell. We sell time. So each one of my advisors know how many hours they have to sell, how many technicians we have available at every time. So that's my number one metric I use to track is that's what I use available inventory to sell. Another key indicator to track is your customer retention. It's all about retaining your customers.
Right.
So you got to keep your customers coming back. So customer retention is another one. Customer retention is kind of a long-term metric because it doesn't happen overnight. But short-term, your available inventory to sell.
Man, I really like that. That's something different, you know, because not a lot of dealerships talk about the inventory that they have to sell, and that's time. You're spot on that. So I like your views on building this team and how you've done it. Obviously, you're really successful. I hope that this new month that you're in, you hit the goals that you want, so you don't have to eat dog food.
Dog food this month. I didn't bet it.
Right. So we're up against time, but I'd like to get your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor listening, an agent or vendor, a dealership owner, or someone in the leadership team like yourself can really take away from this episode.
A few of my takeaways is find ways to efficiently support your staffing. You know, find ways to help as many customers as possible. Don't be afraid to get in the trenches. And last, don't be afraid to break rules to win.
And right. The genius is break rules in order to win, right? I mean, right. The history of how this country has been founded, right? And I love that. Those are great takeaways. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encourages them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Darrell, that is all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you for being a part of this episode, and I'll end with this very last question that I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Definitely, man. I appreciate you, Corey, and thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, have a great week, my friend. Thank you.
You too, brother. Take it easy.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.